Good morning to everyone. It's about time to begin Bible class. This morning we begin a new quarter and a new series. Most of you, if you've been here the last couple of years, are familiar with our procedures during the summer. Different men of the congregation will take a class each week. The series this year is again one of Wendell Winkler's series. Entitled Heart Diseases and Their Cure. Some of the lessons this summer will be overcoming things such as unforgiveness, discontent, pride and arrogance, hatred, prejudice, and other topics as well. Before we begin our lesson today, so this morning we're going to be talking about overcoming worry or anxiousness. I think that most of us, I'm sure all of us, relate to worry and anxiousness at times in our life. It's a good study, this particular one, as well as all of those this summer. I hope that you can be here for most of these. You know, camp's coming up here in a few weeks. Every year at camp, the very first night, Michael Light, who directs the camp sessions, he likes to tell all the campers and everyone there, he likes to tell them we have two rules at camp. Rule number one is don't sweat the small stuff, and rule number two is it's all small stuff. And I used to think Michael was kind of clever and smart about that, and I was doing some research, and I discovered he's just quoting an author by the name of Robert Elliott. So I'm going to get him on that he does, he's not giving credit there. But that's a good rule, and it really is. It's a rule that I think a lot of times that if we would apply that in our lives every day, it would certainly help us. you may have heard this term, that we live in the age of anxiety. I don't know that that's true. I think that man has found plenty to be anxious about, to worry about, in all past generations. You know, Solomon spoke to this in Ecclesiastes when he said there's nothing new under the sun, talking about the cyclical nature of man. We see in the Old Testament, the Israelites certainly had no problem finding things to become anxious about and to worry about. And, you know, to their detriment, it was always, always the case. As we talk about worry and anxiety, we do want to differentiate from concern. And there is a difference. Here's a quote. There's a great difference between worry and concern. A worried person sees a problem and a concerned person solves a problem. I do believe that, you know, it tends to be our nature. We're going to get concerned about things. But if we do something, if we take action, if we put our faith in God, if we do the things that we have the attitude we're supposed to have, it's not a problem to be concerned. Think about this. Consider traveling in a car. You know, a concerned person is going to do what? They're going to wear their safety belt. They're going to practice the laws, safety laws. They're going to drive defensively, and they're going to have a pleasant trip. What's a worried person going to do? They're not going to take the trip. They're either not going to travel or they're going to have a miserable experience is what they're going to do. So, again, we want to distinguish between worry and between concern as we talk about this topic today. We want to obviously discuss this from a biblical perspective. Also, we want to recognize that worrying and being anxious come in varying degrees. You can become anxious. You can worry to the point of ruining your life. Being miserable every single day, every hour of the day. You can make yourself sick. Oftentimes we become anxious short term. It's not anything that never necessarily overcomes us. Whether it be to a small level or to a great level, we as Christians need to think about what the Bible says. I would present this parallel. I think that worry and anxiousness parallel this the scripture Jeremiah 10:23. Would anybody like to quote Jeremiah 10:23? It's one of those verses that we know very familiarly. What does it say? O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. When man tries to direct his own steps, problems come, right? And yet when we put our trust and our faith in God, and we let God, you know, be our guide, we don't seem to have these problems. And I think, again, that verse, Jeremiah 10:23, is a very good parallel to passage to why we have anxiousness, why we have worries, why we have concerns. When we fail to turn to God's ways, when we fail to have a strong faith, when we fail to seek Him, this is when life's challenges, both real and perceived, will grab us, and we will have chosen to live a miserable existence of worry and anxiety. And I want to emphasize that word, choice, okay? For an introductory text, let's go to Luke chapter 10. Garrett, could I get you to read for me this first passage, Luke chapter 10? And we're going to begin in verse number 38. Very familiar passage here. Verse 38. That's good. Thank you. You know, again, a very familiar passage. Now, this isn't an example of that extreme worry of ruining your life, but it is a very good example of improper focus due to worry. The King James in verse 40 says, Lord, dost thou not care? And in verse 41 he tells Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled. As you heard Garrett read the word worried there, and I believe you were reading in the New American, the New King James also will use the word worried. That word careful and care, that is what it means in the Greek. It means worry, become anxious. Okay, but focus in on verse 42, and you know, we read this story, and we've read it many, many, many times in our lives, but focus really there on verse 42, and zone in there, and where Christ says, one thing is needful. Mary hath chosen that. Okay, choice, again. You know, Christianity is a choice, right? It's a choice that we make. And here, as he talks about cares, as he talks about what you're worrying about and what you're being concerned about, you know, that word, choice, is right there in front of us, okay? So let's think about that. You know, as I was looking at this passage, a couple of things came to my mind, and I myself have been guilty in past times of that. And these, again, this is little anxiousness, little worry, so to speak, but it's still wrong. Have you ever seen, I've done this, we go on a vacation trip, and we find a place to go worship, so we hit it there right at the time, and maybe you leave just as soon as the invitation is over. Well, we gotta get on the road. You know, we're gonna slip out. Or you've got a fellowship, and between class, you know, we gotta go check those rolls and get them started, and you're 5 minutes late coming into here, or you leave after the invitation to get out, get back there and get the microwave started. You know, it reminds me of Martha here. You know, concerning ourselves with things that we don't need to be thinking or anxious about. We're worrying about things and letting those things distract us from, what does he say? One thing is needful. You know, choice. It's choice. So again, that's a good passage. It gives us a little bit of a soft introduction here. Obviously she wasn't ruining her life right there, thinking about things. So let's think a minute about worry. So I ask this question, what do we worry about? Specifics. What are some things that we worry about? Say that again.
Safety of grandchildren.
Safety. Okay, so we worry about the well-being of a family member, right? Okay. Very common we do that. Our grandchildren, our children, our spouse. Gina's kids are traveling Brian are traveling back this morning. They're probably about Mount Pleasant right now, worshiping with Chris Groda, probably. That's probably about where they're trying to hit and be traveling. So you're concerned. You're worried about them, right? But, you know, worry is something here, again, contrast worry and concern. You can worry about it, or you can pray about it, and you can have faith, and put your care in God, right? What's something else that we worry about? Been on time somewhere? Right? Who controls that? We do. Choice, right? Right? That's right. I'm not going to say anything ugly about this. Y'all notice I'm behaving right now. All right. What is something else that we worry about? Money. That's a big one, right? We worry about money. Okay? Give me some more. our health, another one of the big three, okay? All right? We worry about our health, don't we? Do we have choices on that? And do we have attitudes that can help us there? I mean, certainly if we're concerned, we should take care of ourselves, right? But inevitably, you know, we have to put our faith in God, right? We have prayer, but we do. Health, okay, health, money, what's something, another one that we worry about? Job stability is a big one, and sometimes more that we see that cyclical. We see that more so in sometimes than others, but job, what's another one? The other big one, death, right? People worry about dying, don't they? That's a big one. You know, death, money, our health, these are all things I think are big ones, but there's a lot of things. Family members, all these are good ones. And we worry about a lot of stuff. The things that we worry about, I believe, can be put in one of three categories. Everything we worry about. Now, some of these you have to kind of think about and really get a hold of them, some of the things we worry about. But ultimately, I think that we can put them in three categories. Okay? Are you ready? The unchangeable past, the inevitable future, and those things that are never going to happen. So think about that. Things you can't do anything about, they're over with. Things are going to happen no matter what you do, and things that will never take place. I'm going to give you a few. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure. Right. That's right. There's a big difference. Concern, you have action. You're going to do what you can, which might be just putting your faith in God. It might be calling on God in prayer. I mean, concern, yeah, we're going to do something. It might be going to your brother and talking to your brother. Concern is action. Worry is a self-inflicted disease. So, I want to give you, right here, I'm just going to give you a few quotes. These are from secular people, but I think that I don't think they get away from biblical principle, and I think that there's some good things for our minds to think about. And as I go through these, remember the three categories: the unchangeable past, the inevitable future, and those things that will never happen. If you want to test your memory, try to recall what you were worrying about 1 year ago today. People become attached to their burdens sometimes more than their burdens are attached to them. We can easily manage if we only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today and then add the burden of tomorrow before we are required to bear it. Worry never robs tomorrow of its sorrow. It only saps today of its joy. This is a really good one here. Worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. Mark Twain said, "I've worried over a great many things in life, the most of which never happened." Winston Churchill said, "When I look back on all these worries, I remember the story of the old man who said on his deathbed that he had a lot of trouble in his life, most of which never happened." And then people get so in the habit of worry that if you save them from drowning, put them on a bank to dry in the sun with hot chocolate and muffins, they wonder whether they're going to catch a cold. Some pretty good quotes. Okay, let's go to the classic Bible text on this subject. What's the classic Bible text on this subject? What'd you say? Okay. What was it? Somebody else? That's right, which is Matthew chapter 6, part of the Sermon on the Mount. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Mike, could I get you to read for me Matthew chapter 6 and begin in verse number 25, please? Thank you. What version were you reading, Mike? New King James. In the King James, everywhere where you heard Mike say worry, in the King James it says thought, and it is, the Greek word there is both worries is absolutely correct. Verse 25, take no thought. Verse 27, taking thought. Verse 28, why take ye thought? Verse 31, therefore take no thought. Verse 34, take therefore no thought. What word do you constantly see before thought or worry? Take. What is taking? An action, and it's a choice, right? It's something that we do. Christ is speaking here, and he's telling us, do not worry. Don't make that choice. You know, don't do it. And over, go over. You know, no. Three times, no, don't do it. Twice, giving the example as to why. You know, why do you do this? Again, take no thought. In verse 33, again, key choice here. What does verse 33 say? Second word in verse 33 says, seek. Okay? Again, an action on our part for us to do. Seek what? Seek first the kingdom of God. So, again, the classic text, of course, the Sermon on the Mount says so much. Such a powerful sermon that deals with so many different subjects and is so encompassing. It's an amazing sermon, truly. And this portion of it here that deals with, you know, daily living and how we should be not worrying and the attitudes we should take, again, choices that we make and how we approach things. Just kind of a side note, verse 32, it says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Think about that. Let's put that a little bit in perspective. When Christ is preaching this sermon, the Sermon on the Mount, who is he speaking to? Jews, okay, right? He's speaking to Jews. And as he refers to Gentiles, who's he referring to? Everybody else, right? So now let's fast forward as the kingdom has come, right? And we are in the Christian age. Who now is the Bible speaking to in this passage? Who is Christ speaking to in this passage? Christians. Christians. Yeah. And the Gentiles are everybody else. You know, there's a transition of the word Gentile in the New Testament. Forever I wasn't really grasping this. But Gentiles, you know, he's talking to a group, and the Gentiles is essentially everybody else. So early on, we're dealing with everybody else is other than the Jews, and then later on, it's other than the Christians. There's a transition that takes place in the New Testament in the usage of that word. Something to think about. So when you see that, think about how it applies to you today. Again, the classic text here, Matthew chapter 6. Let's ask this question. Is worry sin? Is worry a sin? Okay, Jerry says yes. Heard it can be. Okay, yes. What does the Bible say? What did we just read? I mean, is that a commandment by Christ? Take no thought. Was he saying if you don't want to? He wasn't. Christ said, take no thought. Christ said, do not worry. Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. So we have passages. Would someone turn to Philippians chapter 4 and read verse 6 for me? Philippians chapter 4 and read verse 6. Okay, so again, first clause, be careful for nothing. When you see the word care and careful in the Bible, that Greek word is anxious. Today. And if you're reading a New King James Version, it probably uses anxious or worry. Okay? But that is what the Greek word there means. So, is that a commandment? Is Paul saying, don't do this? That's what he's saying, right? Be careful for nothing. 1 Thessalonians 5 says is a commandment. It says rejoice evermore. Okay? 1 Thessalonians tells us what to do. So you've got the anti, right? We've got don't worry, be careful for nothing, rejoice evermore. Proverbs 17 so Kelly, would you read Proverbs 17 for me, verse 22, please? You know, a lot of times the way Proverbs are written, They're not only wise sayings, but they almost make you in some ways chuckle, or you're like, you know, kind of taken back. A merry heart doth, I mean, medicine, okay. Broken spirit drieth the bones, okay. I mean, we're talking, here's a direct correlation of worry and health, isn't it? I mean, Solomon is saying, so again, what is he saying? We're to be, as Christians, we're to be merry in heart, right? We're to be, Christians are to be happy people. Sometimes we're not, and we struggle with that, but we are. That is what we're to be, as happy people. James chapter 1, Paul, would you read that for me? James chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6, James 1. Thank you. Verse 6, ask in faith, not wavering. Okay, ask in faith, not wavering. Wavering is what? It's anxiousness, it's worrying, it's concern that you're not doing anything about it. You're not putting your faith in God, okay? All right, ask in faith. Good contrasting verse here, what to do, what not to do. All right, very good. And then let's see, Luke chapter 8 and verse number 14. Mackie, would you read that for me, Luke 8, verse 14, please? Yes, sir. All right, this passage is, what is this passage part of? Which parable? Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, this is, and when you think about this, okay, we had the different types of soils, we had the ones that, you know, what happened. You know, you have the good soil, right? But in this verse, verse 14, and that which fell among thorns, they heard, go forth, and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring forth no fruit to perfection. You know, when I would read this verse, what I kept being centered on was the worldliness. Okay? The worldliness. I was, you know, riches and pleasures of the world. But there's three things listed there. Cares, riches, pleasures. And remember, what did we say that word in the Greek cares is? Anxiousness and worry. Okay? And again, so here, Luke 8, this is another example. You know, and that which fell among the thorns, which they had heard, go forth and are choked with worries, choked with concerns, choked with anxiousness, okay? Again, it's a choice, right? And we can let worry consume us. Everybody in this room has probably been extremely worried at some time. You guys probably get worried before a test. Do you get anxious about it? Do you? What do you do? What do you do if you get anxious about a test? What's the solution? Study, that's right, preparation, right? And when you're prepared, okay, your anxious is turned to concerns, you prepared yourself, right? And you go into the test and you typically do pretty good, don't you? But when you're not prepared, it's kind of miserable, isn't it? You ever had to get a little creative and then find out that didn't work on a test? All right. All right, any comments or thoughts on this? A lot of smiles out there. And I know this is something we all deal with. We deal with it far too often, don't we? Yeah. Because what happens when you start becoming worried, like you're talking about, Nona, and like you said, that waste, what we're wasting, and what's happening? Your time is passing, right? We become engulfed, and we, you know, the old saying, we can't see the forest for the trees, when we need to back up here and we need to put our care in God, right? How often do we worry and all of a sudden we've been worrying and we think, I hadn't even thought to pray. You know? I mean, how often do you do that? And I mean, don't we chastise ourselves? You know, I know better than that. I know I can take my troubles to God. You know, go to him in prayer. Right. And that's when it becomes, you know, a sickness and can take our health and can destroy our lives and certainly make us lead a miserable existence. Yes, James. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, the scriptures that I wrote down and more to go through, as I did this, I thought, you know, this is a drop in the bucket of what's in the Bible to help us with this subject. And as you were talking, and I was thinking about what you were saying there, and it dawned on me, you know, when we talk about reading or going to the Bible or praying, and I didn't even put it in here, but one, and I'm like, wow, I can't think, didn't believe anything about it. What's another classic Bible, probably just pure classic literature, in the Bible that deals with this? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. The one I'm thinking of is the book of Job. Have you thought about that? You know, Job, most of the time, for younger people, when you first read it, it's kind of a hard book to read. You've got to overcome that. It's one of the, it's classic literature. It's classic, as far as its depth. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. I was thinking I put that one down, but I didn't. That's obviously a very good one. Lottie Beth Hobbs, I don't know if you don't know her. She was, even those of you who know John Hobbs, is his aunt. She never married. She was a church secretary much of her life. She was well known for writing books for ladies' Bible classes. She wrote Daughters of Eve. She wrote Victory Over Trials. She considered Victory Over Trials to be her masterpiece, the best book she ever wrote. She passed away about a year ago. The book, Victory Over Trials, and if you've never had it, I would encourage you to get it. It's a study in the book of Job is what it is. And, you know, I know my sister who's survived cancer twice, the first time through, she will tell you that book, and reading that and studying that book, which is really all about the book of Job and then making practical life applications today, was a great help to her. And so I think, again, there's just so many passages that we can go to, when it comes to, in fact, really, I guess we'll segue over here into some passages that the question I have had was, is how do we handle and how do we overcome worry? And so let's turn to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah chapter 55. And we're going to begin in verse number 6. Isaiah 55, verse number 6. And Don, would you mind reading that for us? Isaiah 55, 6 through 9. 55, verses 6 through 9. Thank you. Verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. That is a very pointed passage for all of us as Christians. Seek him, call upon him. How do we call, you know, not to get into a long discussion here just on this question, but easily, how do you call on the Lord? Say that again. If you're a Christian, and if you're not a Christian, how do you call on him? Baptism, right? What did Paul, was Paul said? Arise and be baptized, calling upon the name of the Lord, right? And as Christians, we call on him through prayer, right? Okay? So again, a very pointed, seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Mark, would you read Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 through 9 for me, please? This is, let me see here if I got that. Nope, yeah, that's right. Philippians 4, 6 through 9.
The peace of God, which surpasses all our comprehension, shall guard you and if there's anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on the things you have learned and received and heard through the
You know, this is a really neat passage. You start off with verse number 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything, okay? But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Okay, there's the command, and you think, okay, there's what we need to be doing, and certainly so. But then watch this progression. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding. Think about that. Don't you want the peace of God that passes understanding? Think about that sentence. The peace that passes understanding. That's the ability to say, hey, I'm going to put it in God's hands. It passes understanding, okay? You know, we're not going to comprehend everything there is in this world. We're not going to comprehend everything about God. God doesn't allow us to do that. We don't have to, okay? The peace of God that passes understanding. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever is true, thy word is truth, right? Whatsoever is true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these. Here again, he's giving you the solution. He's giving you help. Verse 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Learned, okay? Heard, okay? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman need not be ashamed, handling aright or rightly dividing the word of truth, right? We've got responsibility, don't we? You don't just read it and cast it aside. You got to believe it and have faith, and you got to put it in practice. Put your cares on Him, and we'll have the peace that passes understanding. We read earlier, we mentioned earlier, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where it said, rejoice evermore. Can anybody tell me the verse that immediately follows 1 Thessalonians 5:16? Rejoice evermore. Verse 17 says what? What? Pray without ceasing. That's right. Pray without ceasing. Okay? So rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. We get in trouble when we forget to pray, don't we? We get in trouble. We get in mental trouble. We absolutely get in mental trouble when we forget to pray. Okay, let's go to Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. James, would you read for me Mark chapter 11, verses 22 through 24, please.
And Jesus answering said unto him, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, shall believe that those things he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them.
Thank you. So, verse 22, have faith in God. Verse 23, have no doubt, what is doubt? Worry, concern, anxiousness, no doubt in his heart. And then verse 24, when you pray, do what? Believe, right? Don't do it like James, the double-minded man, right? When you pray, believe. 1 Peter 5 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Think about that. Remember what we said about the word care? Again, worry, anxious. Okay, cast your worry, your anxiousness, where? On God. And then God will... He will take the anxiousness. He's going to care for you. He can handle it. We can't handle it. Okay? Philippians 3. This is Paul's great lesson on leaving the past behind. A familiar passage. Philippians 3. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. I'm beginning in verse 11 and going through 14. Not as though I had already attained, either We're already perfect. Isn't that interesting that Paul says that? You know, he's a Christian right here, but he doesn't feel that he's perfect. But I follow after, if that I may apprehend, that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but, and here it is, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And I want to, you know, emphasize, you know, yes, we put things in the past. That does not mean that if there are things in our past that are correctable, we shouldn't do that, okay? But how often do we burden ourselves with something that happened 15 years ago, you know, 20 years ago? You know, and, you know, you can't live a Christian, joyful life with, you know, carrying around those burdens of the past. Isaiah 26, I'm going to read these to speed up a little bit. Isaiah 26, in that day shall this psalm be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. Salvation will God appoint for walls and bulwarks. Salvation for walls and bulwarks. Open ye the gates, that the righteous nation which keepeth the truth may enter in. God, will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, God, because he, the Christian here, in our age, trusteth in thee, God. Okay? Trust ye in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Psalm 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be, and this is a strong passage, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he do shall prosper. Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help from him in God. But thou, O Lord, art a shield from me, my glory and the lifter of mine head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and I slept. I wasn't worrying, was I? For the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of people that have set themselves against me round about. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for thou hast smitten all mine enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. Psalm 4. I love this one. It's another Psalm of David. We have a song in our psalm books that partially is taken from here. Psalm 4. Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? But know the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe, sin not, commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still. This is a prayer. This is all about prayer and about calling upon God. You know, I would leave you with these thoughts. Read and study, pray, pray, pray. You know, have a strong faith. We have to build a strong faith. You want to overcome worry. And I'll give you a couple of last little quotes. That the birds of worry and care fly over your head, this you cannot change. But that they build nests in your hair, this you can prevent. And we can easily manage if we will only take each day the burden appointed to it. But the load will be too heavy for us if we carry yesterday's burden over again today, and then add the burden of the morrow before we are required to bear it. Remember those three categories, the unchangeable past, the inevitable future, and those things that will never happen. And let's work not to worry. Thank y'all. Appreciate the comments.